Blog Talk Radio.
And we didn't get here in just one day. I want us to be clear about that. We didn't get here in just one day. We didn't get here in just one afternoon. We got here because our street credibility is intact. Our street credibility is fully plated. And the people listen to us. So when you see the old black media and the corporate black media trying to steal our methods, they're letting you know this is where the audience is now. The audience is over here with us. The audience is listening to us, and they're hoping that they can bum rush the door. And, well, if we just go where they are, we'll get street credibility too. Ain't going to work that way. See, I'm okay being on the Chitlin circuit. I'm okay with that. I'm not here to get status or prestige. We on the Chitlin circuit, there's where we at. There's where we at. I'm all right with that. I'm okay with being on the Chitlin circuit. I'll take that. If that's what it takes to get change, I'll go ahead and do that. I've got no ego to inflate or offend. We'll just be the folks who won the revolution on the Chitlin circuit. That's who we'll be. That's who we'll be. We're going to go ahead and try this out. We're going to open up the telephone lines. The number is 646-787-1933. That's 646-787-1933. Your personal access code to the black media. You can go ahead and give us a call. If Oprah's out there, if she'd like to call up, you certainly can. By the way, I'm the only outlet that allows that as well, for better or for worse. We'll allow you to do that too. I want to talk tonight about copying the true street level activists. I want to talk tonight about the fact that a lot of you were saying to yourselves that what we were doing was inconsequential because you wasn't seeing any celebrity backup. And I've been saying for years now that we were far more effective than anybody was giving us credit for, and that you weren't going to be able to wait for your white media outlets to sit up here and make a headline saying that, you know, these black first people are controlling the national narrative. That ain't gonna happen. Even to this day, they're telling you all that Joy Reid is where it's at. They're telling you right now that Joy Reid is who Black America is listening to. I'm not joking. Go watch MSNBC. If you let them tell it, Joy Reid is who black people trust and get their news and information from, if you let them tell it. So you understand that's a false statement, but if you're waiting for them to acknowledge us, that ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. We're gonna go ahead and open up the telephone lines here. Let's see if we can go ahead and put this through. Let me get caller from area code 646. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
What's up, Jason? This is Sosa calling from Macon, Georgia.
Okay, calling from Macon, Georgia. What was your name again?
Sosa.
Sosa from Macon, Georgia. What's on your mind?
Hey, man, you're the real deal for all these billboards that are going up nationwide, man. You got these white supremacists shook, man. They're really going in their focus groups, getting together, seeing what they could do, you know, because election day is coming up around the corner. You know what I mean? And, you know, notice they don't – you had Vice coming to your race war show. They're watching you. They're watching you. They act like they don't, but they know you exist. They're watching you. They have people who are watching this very program right now. So just keep doing what they're doing, what you're doing, man. You got them shook.
Well, thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again. They are shook because this wasn't supposed to work. this wasn't supposed to work. This was never supposed to get this far. We weren't supposed to be able to get this far. And what they want to know now is, how do we buy off Jason Black? That's what they want to know now. Well, how do we, but can we buy him off? See, here's the real thing. Let me go ahead and give the old media, the old corporate media, you got to understand, if you all really wanted your ratings to go up, you would come to the new black media and you would hire one of us. Your ratings would skyrocket. Your ratings would skyrocket overnight. You'd actually have a real audience. But you see, they're not going to do that. And they're not going to do that because there's no way to buy us off. But you all know, if they came to the new black media, yeah, ratings would skyrocket, but the agenda is going to be reparations. The agenda is going to be punishing race soldiers. The agenda is going to be capital punishment for white supremacists. Oh, hell no. Because most of your corporate heads at MSNBC and CNN are white supremacists. Oh, we're not going to allow that. Let's go ahead and get this non-descendant of slaves mammy over here, who's going to say whatever we want her to say because she needs a job. They're not going to come to people who don't need a job. We're fully vested. They're not going to come to us. They're going to go over there and see if they can get Joy Reid, maybe to galvanize an audience for them. It's not going to work out the way they think. Let me get caller from area code 863. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yes, Jason. My name is Doris Seeley. And I'm from Lakeland, Florida, and I've talked to you before. I just wanted to call and say thank you so much for what you do. I can't say that, but we need so many people like you. We really do. We need men like you, Tariq, Claude Anderson. We need everybody like you on our team. And I'm not going to cry because I'm so happy that I started listening to you. You speak the truth. You're straight to the point. At first, I was like, Jason is a little whatever, but I've learned to appreciate that. And I'm just happy to have you. I mean, you know, to be in your presence on the phone. I can't speak it enough that I'm just glad that you're doing what you're doing, bringing awareness. I have my grandchildren listening to you. I'm glad to have you, and I'm glad that you do what you do. I really appreciate it. I really 100% appreciate it. You do what you do. Keep doing what you're doing, and I truly understand that Oprah and what she's trying to do. I then fell out with this lady when I looked at her last show and saw all the white people in that. That told me that this lady is not for black people, and I don't understand why people would follow her. I understand and I agree with you 100%. She's trying to hijack the show and make it seem like it's something that she did, but everybody knows that she didn't think of this. You did, and they're getting on your bandwagon, and they are listening to you, and they're taking heed to what you're doing, and they're following your lead, even though they may not give you credit. So, again, I appreciate you to the fullest, and I'm going to continue to listen to you every time I get a chance.
Well, thank you very much. The real issue here is in Oprah's case, the question now isn't what she's doing today. The question is, when the next person is attacked, when the next person is killed, what is Oprah going to do then? Is Oprah going to show up with 26 billboards there, or is she going to go back to the cocktail circuit and go schmooze it up with Hillary Clinton and her white Hollywood friends and Barbara Streisand to go hang out with them and go primp the hair on their poodles? Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get caller from area code 818. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Hey, Jason, Jimmy in San Diego. How you doing this evening, brother?
Jimmy in San Diego, what's on your mind?
Well, I want to just touch on the gathering at Race War up in Beverly Hills. Like the first caller said, it was a really good game chopped up there, man, with Officer Brian. You know, Mona Lachey held it down, and we had Judge Joe Brown really weighing in. And trust me, they definitely don't want a message like that to get out. But I really want to talk about this carousel of bootlegs that's been on MSNBC. You know, all these foreign flag individuals that they're trying to get to, I guess, prop up Joy Reid or fill in for a spot. It's not working.
No, but it's the only tool they got.
And Oprah with her billboards is as fake as a $3 bill simply because we'll be here all night long naming the people in Chicago that can testify that Oprah has done absolutely nothing for them while she's been, you know, once again, like you see on the croissant and cheese circuit. So we see through her. The message is ineffective. And I was glad that we broke that story with her and these phony billboards because – at the end of the day, like you said, when the next black person is a victim of one of these white supremacist race soldiers, like the two girls in D.C. that almost got lynched by those Secret Service officers, where was Oprah then, Jason?
She was probably sitting at Barbara Streisand's house or Susan Sarandon's house or whatever white liberals she hangs out with that she's been hanging with the last 40 years. Where's Oprah Winfrey's black friends? Where, if Oprah Winfrey, you know, if she's up there in Chicago and whatnot, I mean, that's where she's been, where she made her name for herself. Where's her black friends in Chicago when all these things are occurring? Where are they at? And that just lets you know everything they're serious about this. And when the smoke clears and something happens to us, that's where she's going to be. Not over here with us.
Watch her pop up Kamala Harris. Between Kamala Harris and Susan Rice, we both know that they're probably going to pick Heels Up Harris with her ratchet record out here of just allowing black people to get lynched and slaughtered while protecting the police cops and taking cash from the unions and not punishing police soldiers. Watch mysteriously Oprah, Weight Watcher Phil, blobbly butt, get up here and start praising Kamala Heels Up Harris's name. What you think about that, brother?
Well, she's already in with them. So it's not really going to take a whole lot, you know, to get her over there. Mm-hmm. She's already in. Those are her peeps, man. Those are her people. We're not her people. Those are her people. And her people are letting her know. I mean, she has already expressed contempt for us in public and around them. So those are her people. She knows what they want to hear. She's going to do that. Mm-hmm. And when her back is to the wall and those white folk tell her, okay, where you stand, she's going to go with them. She's going to go with them. I can't make it any more plain for anybody. She's going to side with them. It's what she's always done. It's what she'll always do. When her back is to the wall, she is not going to side with us. She's going, I mean, right now she's saying what she has to because she realizes that they, her and Gail really overstepped their bounds, that they got hung out to dry.
Yep.
And I'm going to tell you right now what I predict.
Okay.
I mean, I'm predicting the past is the best indicator of the future. She's going to talk like this for just a little bit. Then she's going to go hold a kumbaya session where she invites a bunch of white people off the streets and say, we're going to have us a talk about race. We're going to get together and discuss race. And then let's get in our feelings. She's going to get some white men who've been calling black folk nigga since they could walk. And she's going to be like, why do you have to be like that? Don't you know we're all God's children? And he's going to be like, well, yeah, Oprah, you know what? I was raised down there in Biloxi, Mississippi. And, you know, I ain't really know a whole bunch of black folks like that. And, you know, you're one of my favorite black folks, though. You know, my wife's been listening to you now for 30 years. She loved you. Especially that show you did with the car. She loved that right there. You get a car, you get a car, you get a car. Man, that was great. Yeah. So as long as you're the entertaining mammy, that is the level of contact that Oprah Winfrey has with white supremacists. And this is the point I was making last night. You and I don't get if the worst thing that happened to us was that we went to a store to go buy a high-priced handbag and the clerk, you know, got funny with us. If that was the worst
right.
that was happening to us, there wouldn't be a march for reparations and a fight against white supremacy. That ain't white supremacy. Somebody at the damn Chanel store not selling you a purse, that's not white supremacy. That is not mistreating you with impunity. That is not a system of people targeting you to deprive you of resources, life, liberty, and the pursuit of property and or happiness. That ain't white supremacy. That's Oprah Winfrey's experience with, quote, racism. I couldn't get a handbag I wanted. She's sitting here sitting among black folk who have been shot, killed, assaulted.
Yep.
All of us got stories like that and telling us, oh, I know exactly how you feel. I couldn't buy a handbag once. If that's a white woman talking, dude. That's a white woman talking.
You said it last night. I was just listening to the rebroadcast right before you jumped on live, and I couldn't agree with you more. When you said, hey, I got pulled out, held at gunpoint, and they gave me these false instructions like, give me your ID, but as soon as you reach for your license, then they're ready to pull the trigger on you and shoot you like they did the brother up in Torrance. So, yeah, you and I, first of all, we don't even make it to the store, right? They pull us over, jack us up as we're going down Wilshire Boulevard and Santa Monica Boulevard to get to Beverly Hills. Yeah, she got life and bullshit mixed up, and we own it. I know you probably got a bunch of other callers, Jason. I appreciate chopping up the good game. And, man, just how do we got to delegitimize this mammy syndrome that is just festered up? I guess y'all predicted this, you know, when we had the State of the Black Union last year. Y'all predicted there was going to be a whole bunch of these mammies that they would prop up and that would pop out of nowhere. We just got to continue to delegitimize them.
Well, that's what we're doing now, brother. When Oprah Winfrey comes up out of nowhere and purchases 26 billboards out of nowhere, encroaching on something that we were doing, and she grabs the same tactic we were using. We came up with our tactic, and she says, let me steal it. Brother, that right there lets you know we've already delegitimized them. The damage is already done. It's already done. She's already conceding, yeah, y'all got it. She's over here trying to say, well, let me see if I can get – you've got the audience. Let me see if I can convince them that I'm legit. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 313. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hello, Jason. My name is Tim. I'm calling from Detroit, Michigan. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Okay, Tim, if you're on Bluetooth or speakerphone or whatever, I'm not sure. Your volume's a little bit low. Speak up a little bit there. You're calling from Detroit.
Yes, I am, sir. I recently started buying into Black-owned businesses, and I recently started putting my money into it instead of these white-owned establishments. I understand your message. I bought your video, or should I say DVD, Race War, and all I want to say is keep it black first. And thank you for your message, sir.
Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again, because what you do makes all the difference. I'm just one guy. But when you and me and us and we and all of us get together and follow a pattern of behavior, that's what changes things. Caller from area code 347. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Oh.
Last try. Caller from area code 347. Wake up.
Hello, Jason Black. This is Uzoma from the Poconos.
Uzoma from the Poconos, what's on your mind?
What's going on, Jason Black? Man, I can't. This is my first time calling in. I just became a subscriber to you this year. Man, like I said, man, what a wake up call it's been. Thank you so much for your message and your contributions. I'm a little nervous right now. Hold on. One thing I want to bring up that I've been noticing is this attack on the black males that's been going on with the celebrities, Keri Hilson and Megan Thee Stallion, talking about black men is not here to protect black women. And shout out to you with that billboard that emphasized that us black men, we're here to support Breonna Taylor and all our sisters and mothers and grandmothers and all of that. And I just want to know, like, do you think that that is like a mammy conspiracy? Like, do you think the black women, the black mammies are all teaming up trying to divide us and conquer us
and
all that good stuff?
Well, yes. I mean, this is the playbook that has worked. It worked on the plantations. They attempted to do it when the white feminists were on the march. But individuals like Sojourner Truth and Ida B. Wells wouldn't go along with it. They said, we are black first. The problem isn't that we're women. The problem is we're black. So when Susan B. Anthony and her ilk attempted to co-opt black women at that juncture, it failed. But white supremacy kept trying it. And so eventually they came back. And in the 60s, they found that there were a whole bunch of closet narcissists. And they found enough black women who were willing to put their selfishness ahead of the group and say, okay, we'll join the white women. And the white women played them for fools, and it worked. So, brother, the reason they keep trying this is because it works. Now, it has been losing its momentum in recent years, but not if we don't keep after it. Because they are of a mind that we are led by our celebrities. And what they're getting is a brutal wake-up call that we're not led by the celebrities. And if you all think that I am just puff blowing smoke and I'm exaggerating, go ask Killer Mike and T.I. When they told black folk in Atlanta, y'all ain't got to do all this and get out the streets, did the people get out the streets? No, they didn't.
Nope.
No, they didn't. So the celebrities don't run it anymore, brother, but you're dealing with white supremacists. These are the only tools they got. Right now, they're using everything at their disposal. They're marching out the riot police, the National Guard, the white media, the old dead black media, celebrities, athletes, whatever they can get their hands on. They are throwing it. They're slinging everything at the wall. And the fact that they've even trotted out Oprah's ass at a mothballs lets you know, man, they're doing everything. They're doing everything. And so in the chat room said it, Carrie Hilson. I mean, she's not a one-hit wonder. She's a one-third of a hit wonder.
Right.
I'll give her a little bit more than a quarter. She's about a third of a hit. Two more thirds and she would have had a hit. So I'm just saying, brother, now she's like Terry Crews. She's getting attention now for getting on the internet cooning out. She's getting
right,
on the internet
cooning
out. But that's what they've been told. So, and the other thing is, you all don't understand. I'm about to step on some damn toes here tonight. But I got to do it. And if I make some enemies among some people, I guess I got to do that. I guess it's just my fate. But I can't help but notice that every time I find a black person at this critical juncture in history, every time I find a black person trying to talk us down, there's some white person that they have either personally or financially invested in, not too far away. Ain't that right, Killer Mike, running the jewels? Did I say something I shouldn't say? Am I making enemies? Have I offended some of my friends? Have I offended some of my people? All right. I just couldn't help but notice there. But by the way, I see Bernie Sanders on your left, Killer Mike. I see that dude from Run the Jewels on your right. And all of a sudden, I'm starting to feel like I understand why reparations is something you kind of hold on to, but kind of don't. Oh, but I'm making it up, but I'm exaggerating. He says some good things sometimes, so we got to give him a pass. If it was somebody else, all right, okay, fine. T.I., oh, wait a minute, I ain't forgot about you. Every time I turn around, there's some white producer you schmoozing about. We don't know none of these white boys, but you keep vouching for them. Oh, yeah, and need we forget Iggy Azalea, by the way. Ain't forgot about that. You thought you had found a white female Eminem. You was getting ready to ride that. I ain't hating on you for making money. I ain't hating on you for that. I ain't hating on you for making the money, dude. Make the money. I ain't hating on it, but I just can't. I just need to make you aware that we understand y'all get too cozy with people from the dominant society, and then you get out the bed confused. You come out the bank confused. You come away from the concert confused. Or at least you think we are. So I just couldn't help but notice your commitment to standing by the black agenda. These folks who keep having issues, I keep finding that there's an interracial element to them. Ain't that right, Kerry Hilson? Tia and Tamara, we can go down the list. Terry Crews, I keep seeing there's an interracial element to y'all. You see, I'm not afraid to offend none of you niggas because you ain't leading. I don't have to make you happy with me. You got to make me happy with you. I don't have to make you friendly with me. You need to figure out a way to make me friendly with you because you're not leading. You just a nigga with a record deal. Let me just say that straight out like it is. If I ain't never said it straight before, let me just say it like it is. Silly Willie D., You used to have a record deal. You just a nigga with a record deal. You just a nigga with an album library, a discography. That's all you are. That's all you are. You're an entertainer. You're not real. See, the problem comes when you start confusing reality with your entertainment. Oh, am I hurting feelings? Am I hurting feelings right now? It's a bunch of you dudes. You're in Atlanta. You're in Houston. You might know some affiliated cats, but you ain't one of them. You made a name for yourself by convincing the world that that's who you are. You made a living by convincing the world that what you say on those albums, you the gangster. You know who the gangsters are? They the ones getting shot and killed. You know the real gangsters when you see them. Most of them getting shot and killed. Most of the real ones are getting shot and killed. As KRS-One said, because gangsters don't rap. So most of the real ones are out here dodging bullets. For real, for real. The rest of you cats, you make money off of convincing white folk that because you black, you could be a gangster. Now, black folk know that your gang affiliation ain't really legit, but you make money on it. We ain't hating on you for that. The rapper Rick Ross. We ain't tripping on that. Corrections Officer Ricky. But you make your money by convincing white folk that this is legit and this is real and this is who you really are. And the problem comes when you start believing your own albums. When you come around black people who know that ain't real, and then you come in front of us like you calling shots. You make an album about you calling shots, and you make this phone call and somebody come up missing. I make that phone call and I'm flying to Dubai and all this stuff. All right, man, that's entertaining on an album, but let's just keep it real. Nigga, you make money rapping like that's what you do, but the problem comes when you turn off your damn CD or you turn off your MP3 player, and then you come among black people talking to us like you still calling shots. That works perfectly fine to a nigga trying to get a record deal. That works great. That doesn't work for the rank and file black person out here on the streets ain't trying to get a record deal. That doesn't work with us. That's not entertaining to us. Because just like what you do don't faze the real gangsters, what you do also doesn't faze the real activists and the real revolutionaries. It don't faze us. That's the real problem. So don't expect them to give that up, brother. That's the only play they got. They're going to hold on to it for dear life. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 636. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Yeah, my name is Patrick from Missouri, a.k.a. True Power is Mine.
Patrick from Missouri, what's on your mind?
Hey, brother, I just want to say thank you for your broadcast. You know, I also host the show TPIMSR Live. But I want to talk to you about a thing you mentioned a while back for the young men about.
You have phony revolutionaries. You also have phony activists. if you really want to network and get your name out there, you go through the proper channels. If you were really that relevant and if people really cared about your channel, they would go there already. This is not please listen to my demo night. Let's get it together, folks. Caller from area code 646, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
James Graham from Brooklyn.
Okay, what was your name again?
James Graham from Brooklyn, New York.
James from Brooklyn, what's on your mind?
All right, I've been driving in from Brooklyn through the Williams Bridge over there, and I see that sign, and when I look through my windshield and see all the white people in their Mercedes, and like they're shocked that that billboard is working. I gotta give you props for that. I've always listened to you, and keep up the good work, brother.
Well, thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Please do give us a call again. You see, a lot of folk. The thing is, if I was trying to promote something, I'd put the billboards in the Black community. I'd put the billboards in the Black communities in New York if I was trying to sell something. I ain't trying to sell nothing. I'm fighting white supremacy. You're going to fight white supremacy by taking the message to the white supremacists. So when you're going on your morning commute, when you're coming from Brooklyn into Manhattan, I would like to greet you with a great big huge billboard reminding you that you are coming to a place where racial profiling is legal. Putting it right in your face, real estate bigger than life. Tell me, where's Oprah and the rest of the phony activists, all you New York rappers, all your hotep hobos? Up there, I had to come all the way from Shreveport, Louisiana to deliver the Sermon of Freedom because your so-called Black activists in New York in the last damn decade, them niggas ain't done it. Somebody, but let me go ahead and step on all y'all damn toes. You niggas up there in New York, ain't none of you niggas in New York impressed me. All you internet, YouTube people, I don't fool with none of y'all because none of you niggas impressed me. You niggas ain't pulling no weight in your own damn city. None of you internet, YouTube, blog talk, yakety-yak niggas who've been doing this forever, don't none of y'all impress me. If y'all wonder why y'all have never seen me talk to none of them, it's because none of them niggas is real. Somebody explain to me how in the hell they spent decades on damn E Street corners in New York playing dress up. Like it's Halloween, holding debates every damn year, like it's Friday night fights, and ain't a damn thing get changed in New York. And I had to come all the way from Louisiana and get you niggas straight and get your city straight. Why is it you couldn't do this? Where the hell are you at? No, I ain't got nothing for none of you niggas. I ain't got nothing for none of you. None of you niggas is real. None of you. Not a one of you. If y'all don't see me fool with them, they ain't real. All them niggas do is sit around and talk about history and talk about etymology and semantics and religion. None of you niggas are real. None of you. None of you are getting the message out there. None of you. None of you have changed the narrative, not a one of you. You were sitting there a decade ago, and we're going to have a debate, and at the debate, everybody buy your tickets. We're going to debate each other. You're not even debating white supremacists, by the way. Now, there's the real insulting part of it. You ain't even debating white supremacists. You're sitting around debating each other. This is a bunch of bored nigga babble. Can I just lay it on the line? All these ADHD, recessive remedial after school students who've grown into adults ain't delivering no tangibles. You're not doing nothing. None of the politicians are talking about you. None of the political leaders are talking about you or your agenda. None of them are using your vocabulary. They're using ours. Now they are using ours. WABC has called me. The Breakfast Club knows me. I don't want to talk to them. I ain't got nothing to say. I mean, I got plenty to say. It's just nothing you want to hear. By the way, you notice they ain't talking to none of them niggas in New York either, by the way. Breakfast Club is right there in New York. They talking to niggas from Los Angeles. They talking to niggas from Philadelphia. They'll talk to Tariq. They'll talk to Umar. They'll talk to Dr. Claude Anderson. They ain't talking to you niggas in New York, though. Ain't nobody really want to holler at you. Nobody really wants to talk to you, and you right there in they city. Oh, am I making enemies? Let me take some more phone calls before I make more enemies. Caller from area code 512, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
What up, Jason? It's your best friend, Brian, from Houston.
Brian from Houston, what's on your mind, such as it is?
Well, I just want to say you're doing great work out here, and definitely proud of, you know, your billboard campaign that you have employed. I do think that there are nefarious reasons for Oprah doing what she's doing. But I do think that she is building on the foundation that you have set. Regardless of the terrible reasons that she's doing it, whether her white masters are telling her, whether she's trying to hijack it, the fact is more people, this is a way, a roundabout way for the black people with influence to actually use their resources for the greater good. This is indirectly happening through the billboards that Oprah is putting out there. And although
well,
I do
thank
understand
you very much. Okay, let me get the next caller in here. Folks, try to make it brief. I'm going to try to wrap things up here. Let me get caller from area code 510. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Tony calling from Union City.
Tony from Union City, what's on your mind?
So, man, you are spot on, man. You're excellent with the work that you do. I want to say that first. But when you hit that hit list, I call it the hit list with the Oprah Winfrey's and the rest of them cats and Michael, Killer Mike, Michael. The thing about it is, if we want to wonder why we was put in slavery, a part of it was it takes a black man and a black woman to put a black man and a black woman in chains. So they've been using that strategy forever, and I don't know why black people don't want to fight back against that. Number two, what I see in the Bay Area, the reason why we can't get up and cause a revolution and we don't fight back is they're drowning in debt. They're drowning in debt, and they want more debt. Talk to me, Jason.
Okay. Who's drowning in debt?
Black people, period, as a whole in the Bay Area is drowning in debt here in the Bay Area. So when you ask – well, when you ask them to fight –
the real problem isn't that, brother. The real problem is most black people, the civil rights generation taught black people that the way you fight white supremacy is to appeal to their moral conscience and convince them to integrate. So you have a segment of black society that's been trying to work that failed strategy that was given to us by white society simply because that was just another system of control and another mechanism of submission, because to appeal to somebody's moral conscience basically means that you're waiting on them to do the right thing. So white folk made it sound like integration was some type of demand, that somehow we were taking something from them. We were demanding something, that integration was a form of exercising power over them. That's what they made it sound like for us. That integration was us exercising power over them to get them to do something they don't want to do. When in reality, no, it's just you spent all the previous 240, 300 years asking their permission to do something, and now you're asking it again. So that's what so many people were conditioned to buy into, this alternative form of begging that you call integration, waiting for these people to do the right thing. Power isn't about waiting for someone to do the right thing. Power is telling them this far and no farther. You will not go past this point. You won't. And that was why when the uprisings began, what I did was I told folk, if you've been charged with a serious felony, call me first. Because if you're out there in the streets, you are saying this far and no farther. And I wanted to let the district attorneys and everybody else know we got their back. Oh, no, we're not asking nothing. We got their back this far and no farther. Literally. Or there will be consequences. So that's the thing that's changed. So it's not about being in debt, brother. You still got a bunch of folks, especially out there in California. Los Angeles has stood up in the last few weeks, but in the last few months. But when you get into San Francisco and places like that, you got a bunch of folk who are still trying to integrate their way because this isn't about money. This is about their priorities. Their priorities are still interracial sexual access, which is what integration to black people of the civil rights generation really means. I keep saying integration, 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 but you all remember I defined integration for you. Integration, as interpreted by the mind of the civil rights generation, is interracial sexual access. And that's why you've got this LGBT police chief in Aurora, Colorado, that is letting her officers violate black people's rights, murder and kill with reckless abandon all over the damn place. Oh, well, black folk in Denver and Aurora and Boulder, brother, you ain't seen places where swirling was more the thing to do than there. Those were their priorities, was interracial sex and weed. Legalizing interracial sex and legalizing marijuana. Well, guess what? Black folks in Colorado, interracial sex is legal. Marijuana is legal. And you are still getting jacked up by the police left, right, and center. You've got all the interracial sex and all the marijuana you can handle. Let's hope you make it alive from the grocery store today. And that's what's happening out there where you're talking about. It's not a matter of money. It's a matter of priorities. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight. Let me get a caller from area code 908. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Omar from Trenton.
Okay. Omar from where?
From Trenton. Trenton, New Jersey.
Omar from Trenton. What's on your mind?
Do you believe that craziness Roland Martin said about him checking Khalid Muhammad?
Hell to the hell to the no way no. And that's all I really got to say about that. No, this is that was a work of fiction of monumental proportions. Anybody who takes that seriously is too dumb to take out the time to convince them. Thank you very much for giving us a call tonight, please. Khalid Muhammad would have stomped a mud hole in his jelly donut built ass. If he had, Khalid Muhammad's subordinates would have jacked up Roland Martin if he had done something like that. Khalid Muhammad wouldn't have had to do nothing. Khalid Muhammad's subordinates would have handled that. This nigga is selling science fiction.
Yeah.
Caller from area code 443. Mm-hmm. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Oh, my God. Jason Black. Jason?
Yes, turn off your speakers.
Oh, my God, Jason. This is D, Soulfully Solvency. I really didn't want anything. I was just listening to you
really?
In the background. Yeah, and listen to all the kings calling. I love the sign, Breonna Teller, Produce Justice. I'm reposting it on my Twitter account. I'm not trying to be funny or silly. I appreciate you for everything that you do. Be one. That's all I got to say.
Well, thank you very much for giving us a call. And she's been listening to us for years. So thank you very much for giving us
a
call for the first time.
I love y'all.
Well, thank you very much. And be one, sister. Absolutely. Let me get a caller from area code 862. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hi, Jason.
Hi. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hi, this is Symphony. I live in Wilmington, Delaware.
Symphony in Wilmington, Delaware. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you that I'm very grateful for everything that you've done. And I just wanted to know, did you hear the snippet or video with T.I. and Jane Elliott when she actually revealed that?
Yeah, a lot of folks just asked me tonight, the ladies tonight, women are good for gossip. So they're asking me, did I hear this? Did I hear that? Yes, I know about T.I. I know about Jane Elliott. And here's my thing. My thing is, we shouldn't get into an – let this be a reminder to you all that we can't – it doesn't bother me what Jane Elliott said because Jane Elliott ain't leading the agenda. Jane Elliott is not leading the agenda. We give the marching orders to her, not the other way around. So that where we get into trouble is when we get some white person and they going to educate us about white supremacy. No, the only thing you can do is confirm it. The only thing you can do is confirm it and then follow our orders on what you're going to do. You don't get to tell us. Jane Elliott wants to deconstruct white supremacy. She does. But you have to understand you're still dealing with a white woman. So she's going to try to ease it down. She's going to try to bring it in for an easy, slow landing. And we're like, oh, no, rip the wings off this son of a gun. We're going to crash this damn thing. So, and of course she doesn't want to really crash it because she's in the boat. Okay. She's in the boat. So what this is just a reminder, Jane Elliott, she can say whatever she wants to say. That's fine. But baby, you don't lead. You're not going to set the agenda of how we're going to deconstruct white supremacy. All you
can
do is,
why do we allow other groups of people to dictate or come in our conversations when we're not invited to any other groups of people in their conversations on how they can improve their community? Why do we allow that?
Well, we shouldn't be doing that at all. We need to talk to each other and we need to dictate to everyone else. Thank you very much for giving us a call. Let me get a caller from area code 651. You're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, Jason, how you doing? It's Frank from St. Paul.
Frank from St. Paul, what's on your mind?
I just wanted to call, man, real quick. First of all, I haven't spoke to you in a while. I got all three of the DVDs. I just wanted to let everybody know that. And I just wanted to start out talking about power because – the one thing you taught me in those DVDs is how to snatch up power, how to take power locally, how power works statewide, how power works federally. And basically, these people, these listeners that you're talking to, they need to start taking power. And they need to take power in their own hands locally. They need to take, you know, power in their own hands statewide. And then we can start talking about federal crap. But they need to start learning how what power really means, how it's dictated, how you take it. It's something that you earn on your own, and nobody's going to ever give it to you.
Well, very, very true. I can't improve on that statement anymore. Thank you very much for giving us a call. As far as Jane Elliott is concerned here, let me be very, very clear with everybody about this. We're not here. You're not going to tell us how we're going to get liberation. That's where you can pump your brakes. You're not going, you know, see, the problem comes in when we talk to white folk about how to deconstruct racism. First thing they want to do is say, okay, let us get back in the driver's seat and tell you what the strategy will be. That's how we ended up with the dead end red herring con game that is integration. We asked white folk, how do you deconstruct racism? And white folk said integration. Now let us define and set up how you will integrate. What changed for us? So no, you can't tell us nothing. Every time we talk about what we're going to do, some white person wants to jump in the driver's seat and say, okay, let me lead the way. If you want reparations, okay, I'm 100% in favor of reparations. Great. Now, you Negroes brought the agenda of reparations, but let me tell you how reparations should be executed. No, baby, you can't lead none of that. You can't lead us about reparations. You can't lead us about stopping police violence. You can't lead us about dealing with white supremacists. All you can do is back our play. You can't lead anything. You can't lead nothing. You're not here to tell us what to do. We ain't looking to you for leadership on what to do about white supremacy. See, there's where you all get messed up. Y'all heard her talking to T.I. and it's, ooh, Jane Elliott telling us what to do. No, people, you got to know where to tell them, yeah, okay, you were doing good till you got there. Got to put you back where you belong now. You're stepping out of your bounds. You're doing what white people do. You saw a group of Negroes and you said, okay, I'm going to tell y'all how to get this done. No, you're here to back our play. You're not here to tell us how to get freedom, justice, and equality. You're here to back our play when we move on freedom, justice, and equality. But I'm not offended by what she said because it was like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wow, wow, wow. Baby, you ain't said nothing to me. I'm not consulting with you about how do we stop white supremacy. I know how to stop white supremacy. I'm just here to expose and confirm white supremacist tactics. But I'm not waiting on you to tell me, okay, here's the game plan. Here's the steps we're going to take to deal with it. I ain't asked you for all that. You know why I didn't ask you for all that? Because I don't need you to tell me what to do. I don't need you to tell me in what order reparations should be given, how it should be done, who it should be given to, who deserves it. I'm not consulting with you. So that's where niggas get it wrong. I'm not offended by what she said because this isn't people. You heard it only on the Black Channel. Our liberation ain't up for a vote. Our empowerment isn't up for a debate. And reparations isn't up for a discussion. Our survival is not up for a vote. So you can't come to me when I tell you this is what we're supposed to have, and then you say, okay, let's negotiate. Oh, hell no. No. You ain't listening. I said this is what it's going to be. And then you think it's going to be a debate. Oh, no. The reason I didn't say anything else after you started talking is because you are under the misconception that we are negotiating. No, I am dictating to you what will be. I'm dictating to you what will be. But it's not up for a discussion. It isn't. It's not. So you can go get T.I. and anybody else you want. But when you open your mouth to say, okay, I agree with reparations, the sentence is done. I don't need anything else from you. When you go to vote on election day, you follow up and confirm what you just said. If you don't confirm it in the election booth, then you're one of the confirmed white supremacists. But that white supremacist tendency that permeates the society as a whole, see, it started to rear its head when you were asked about reparations. And what I'm saying is we're going to put you back in your seat now, because that little white supremacist tendency, as soon as we said, okay, we're going to let you speak on this, as soon as we let you speak on it, you tried to take it over. See, the problem is you think you get in a room full of black folk and that if we start discussing something with you, the first thing you want to do is take it over. I'm here to lead you. The hell you are. We didn't ask you to come lead us. Well, maybe T.I. did. We ain't asking. Black America is not asking you to lead us. We're not asking you to clarify what we need and how we need it. So, no, it doesn't bother me at all. But what do I think of it? I think that this is what happens when you empower white people to speak on black issues. You run the risk that they are going to do what they've always done. And they may agree with you in principle, but if you open the door to say, okay, what do you think of what we're doing? They're going to be very tempted to take it over and say, all right, you Negroes are doing it the wrong way. Here's how it needs to be done. Here's the roadmap. And I'm just saying, no, we got the roadmap. We don't need to listen. We don't need your help at this point. For this part, we got this. We don't need your help for this. Everything up until then, you're doing good. And folks, listen to me, brothers and sisters. This is how you must approach the dominant society in general. You must approach them this way in general because understand something. And I'm not even – one of the other reasons I'm not upset is because that's the way that power works. Negroes are getting offended. That's the way that power works. Power doesn't sit down at the table and try to let you give it things. Power says these are people from powerful societies. So she's operating on reflex. She's operating on reflex. People, come on now. You claim you read the ISIS papers. You claim you read the destruction of black civilization. You claim you read Black Power, White Wealth. And yet when a white person acts like a white person, you're shocked, you're surprised, you're offended. No, she comes from this is a part of the condition of history, as Dr. John Henry Clark said. They come from a powerful society. So when she heard that you were discussing the exercise of power, she did what people from powerful groups do and tried to see how she could corral and harness some of it for herself. It's reflexive. It's reflex. Y'all niggas acting offended. This is reflex. This is reflexive. That wasn't even something she had to think about. She saw a room full of Negroes coming to her, and she did what power does. Well, let me show you what needs to be done. No, you got it wrong. Let me give you the real deal. Let me give you the real step by step. That's what powerful groups do. When you invited them in for this one. So no, I'm not offended. I'm not upset. I think the first fellow who talked to her about that, he did it the right way. He was like, no. We ain't doing that. You're doing good till you got here. Like that Bill Duke meme, that's where you messed up at. No, that's it. So this is why you can get white contributions, but you cannot accept white leadership. We can take white support, but we're not. This is what happens when you start getting white partnership. The partnership very quickly evolves into a dictatorship where the thing you just told them you're here to get, they tell you, okay, we ain't doing that. So no, we can take white support, but we cannot take white leadership. Otherwise, we'll never get where we're going. And this is just reflexive. I ain't even mad about it. I'm not even mad. I'm not even mad, because you know why? This is a test for us to accept, because As black people, we have got to set up the boundaries for both our white enemies and our so-called white allies. Everybody is coloring outside the lines, and everybody is testing the boundaries because we haven't set up firm boundaries for everyone. You see, you can't allow your so-called white allies to define what it is that constitutes being a white ally. Do you all understand that? Do you understand that? You cannot allow white people to define what constitutes a white ally. We are the ones, we are supposed to be the sole source that dictates and defines that. They don't get to walk in the room and say, "Hi, I'm one of your white allies." You don't get to declare yourself a white ally. We are the ones who make that declaration. We are the ones who certify you. Or let me put this more concisely. We're the only ones with the power to declare you a white ally. You don't get to walk in the room and declare yourself. We are the ones who certify your status. You have no power to do that. There is no discussion to be had with you. If you meet the criterion, we'll let you know. And she found out the hard way. Yeah, we saw that little trick bag. No, that reflexive tendency to walk in a room full of black folk and take control, take power. No, we saw it. And we said, nah, we ain't buying that. So far as I'm concerned, I'm cool with it because I understand the language of power. Caller from area code 702, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Anthony from Las Vegas. Hey, I'm
Anthony
glad
from Las
you
Vegas,
got
what's on your mind?
I'm glad you got onto those sorry ass motherfuckers in New York. Just basically just talking this shit and selling fucking products left and right in their videos and so forth and pushing the little bullshit ass products left and right and hearing a lot of fucking prison talk. That's all you hear basically on these fucking channels and shit. You know, or something on Twitter, some fucking rapper on Twitter is talking about this shit or that shit, some old nonsensical bullshit, you know, never talking about any kind of taking the power stuff, you know. For instance, they always talking shit about brothers from the South, and the last time I checked, I don't think they have a fucking market corner on white supremacy, you know, especially allowing Eric Garner to get choked up with 30 or 40 motherfuckers just standing around just yelling and shit, you know.
Well, what it is, brother, is in a lot of these places, what people have done, and I noticed this as a person who's not from a big city, and I've told folks about this, niggas believe in their own hype that all you have to do is say, I'm from New York, and just the fact you were born there is some type of accomplishment. So niggas are sitting here watching a bunch of people with real resources in New York, a place that movies get made about, TVs get shows get made about every day. And so you are vicariously, because there are people who are prosperous in New York, you're saying that, well, I was born there, so I'm vicariously prosperous too. And what we really got them on is now understanding, no, you're in a bad situation. You're at the bottom of the barrel, and it's not going good for you. Thank you very much for giving us a call. I'm going to take one more caller. Area code 512, you're on live with the Black Channel. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, JB, this is Braxton out of Princeton, New Jersey.
Okay, well, what was that name again?
Braxton.
Braxton out of Princeton, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so, you know, if we remember, speaking on Oprah, being the double agent that she is back in early, you know, remember the late 90s, early 2000s, when she called out those cattle farmers about, yeah, people should stop eating beef then. You know, cause a big ruckus amongst, of course, the rest of those crackers out there. So what did she do immediately after that? She went and opened a school in Africa. And, you know, the controversy behind that was trafficking young girls out of there. And also, you know, you're familiar with the Harvey Weinstein pictures and you know, at a point you're thinking, yeah, she's trying to satisfy, you know, the black community by calling out those people, but at the same time, she still had to pledge her allegiance to those same white people and helping them traffic those girls through Africa, and also, you know, get them still stay on that same white agenda with Harvey Weinstein.
Well, you know, those are the people, though, that brought her to the dance, brother, because here's the thing that black folk don't understand. We didn't bring Oprah to the dance, man. We didn't do that. And thank you very much for giving us a call. We didn't bring Oprah Winfrey. Oprah Winfrey was brought to us. We didn't bring Barack Obama. Barack Obama was brought to us. And we didn't vet the folk and say, hey, who brought you here? Or as you all know, like I like to say, who goes there? Who brought you? Nigga, where you from? Who knows you? Who can vouch for you? We didn't do that. We didn't do that. And that's the result of it. This is why they keep harping on celebrity, because celebrity is supposed to be a way of bypassing your defenses. That's what celebrity is supposed to be for. These people emphasize celebrity on us so much because celebrity is supposed to be a way of saying that you know somebody, a person you never met. So this person you've never met, you've gained this affinity, relationship, whatever you want to call it, to somebody you never even met. So that's why they harp on it and focus on it and beat the drum on it so much, because celebrity is a method and a strategy to circumvent actually getting to know someone. That's the whole purpose of it. These are people you don't know. But if we put enough money behind them and if we put enough notoriety behind them, well, you've convinced yourself that you know them. You've convinced yourself that this is a person you know, that this is a person you eye with, and that this is a person who knows you. So this is one of those reasons right there. You can't subscribe to that. You can't subscribe to that. You got to see it for what it is. You got to see it for what it is. We don't need to have white allies speaking for us. We don't need to have celebrities speaking for us. So it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me. But you notice who they're not speaking to like that. They ain't speaking to the street. They're not speaking to the streets. And I'm okay with that, too, because you got to understand, if me and Oprah are never, never, ever going to be cool enough for us to converse back and forth like that. We're two separate types of people. We got two separate agendas in life. It's never going to be that way between me and Oprah. Not now, not ever. It's never going to be that way. Never. And the reason it's never going to be that way is because she and I got two totally separate goals. We come from two totally separate places. She is comfortable with a level of white supremacy that I will never be comfortable with. Ever. I'll never be comfortable like she is. Nor do I desire to be. So if the two of us sit down in a room and start talking, we can't do nothing but clash. You do understand that. She identifies with white supremacy. There is no part of Oprah Winfrey that says crush, mangle, and destroy white supremacy. Oprah Winfrey is empathize and integrate white supremacy. She and I could never get along. We could never get along. Because she has a level of comfort with white supremacy, and I'll never have that, nor do I wish to have it. So we can't do nothing but clash. We can't do nothing but come into conflict. How could we ever do anything else? We could never do anything but come into conflict. because she gets her money and her status and her comfort and her friendship from the system of white supremacy, and I'm here to destroy that system. I'm here to burn it to ashes. Don't you understand that she gets scared when niggas talk like that? Don't you all know that Oprah Winfrey, the worst thing in the world would be a vibrant and thriving black society? Because Oprah Winfrey knows how to talk to white people. She don't know how to talk to none of us. I'm not exaggerating here. I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm just saying it straight. Brothers and sisters, she don't know how to talk to them. She doesn't know how to talk to us. She only knows how to talk to the dominant society. She knows about sitting around talking about their little poodle dogs and the country club. And my third ranch house and my vacation home in the Hamptons. People, she don't know how to talk to us, nor would she be comfortable doing so. She's just tried to pull off this folksy southern accent when she's around them to make them think, oh, you hear that? She pulled off a Negro southern accent. Why, she's one of those people there. And if I can just connect to her, why, that's good enough as if I know all you niggas. So, yes, her and Gail and the rest of the bougie, boule, boot-kissing ass lick, them Negroes. Those folks have done everything they can, but they can't speak for us. They can't speak to us. They're not comfortable with us. They're not comfortable with any of us. There's no way you could sit them down with any of us. She's used to sitting around with a bunch of white women in exclusive gated communities and exclusive stores. She's used to that. Places that you and I ain't never seen and ain't never been. And I know about a lot of places, but Oprah Winfrey's got access to places in this country that I've never seen because you can't get access to it. Nobody knows it's there unless you tell them it's there. She don't know nothing about us. She doesn't know anything about us. Our experience offends her. Do you understand? Our experience as black people is offensive to her. She don't want no part of it. Nothing. So when you see her come riding into town, like Jane Elliott saying, all right, wait, you street revolutionaries, y'all been standing up for black folk, and you've been the only one talking for black people because I've been hiding out with them white folk you've been fighting. Yeah, I've been hiding out with them all this time. But I'm here now to take the reins. And I'm here to tell you that the killers of Breonna Taylor must be arrested and charged. And brothers and sisters, I want to ask you a question. Oprah Winfrey probably didn't have a problem with Amber Geiger being arrested and charged for the murder of Botham Jean. I want to ask you all right now, do you think that Oprah Winfrey, when she says arrested and charged, that ain't saying prosecuted and convicted? That's not saying given the maximum penalty. And when Oprah's taking a look at them after they're arrested and charged and they're on the stand and all the white men that Oprah Winfrey is laid up with, oh, hell. Did I just say that? I think I just did. All the white men that Oprah Winfrey has laid up with, when she sees them white men on the stand, is she going to say, hang them high, or is she going to say, forgive? Forgive. What they did was wrong, but people make mistakes. Yeah, it sounds good on the front end. See, a lot of y'all haven't thought this through. Yeah, these billboards look good on the front end. But just like with Jane, if you give them too much power to speak, don't you know they lead? Somebody who has never been on our side and you truly believe that this isn't part of the trick bag also? Brothers and sisters, white folk acknowledge racism. White folk acknowledge racism. It's no problem to get white people to concede that there is racism. The problem comes when you say, now let's punish it. Then all of a sudden, everything changes. It's no big thing to get Oprah Winfrey to acknowledge the existence of racism. She's been doing it for 40 years. The problem comes when you say, all right, Oprah, come over here and help us punish these white supremacists. Then it becomes forgive, forgive. Well, can you all hear Oprah Winfrey in the courtroom? Well, you know, everybody's got a little racism in them. Do you all think that Oprah Winfrey would tell you that black people cannot be racist because white supremacy and racism require power? Do you think Oprah Winfrey is going to sit up there in front of her white friends and say, no, black people cannot be racist? You can, but not us. You think she's going to do that? You think, has she ever done it? No. You think she's going to start now? Yeah, you can go buy all these billboards, but are you going to say what we're saying? No. They should be arrested and charged. All right. When they start talking about convicted and maximum penalty, Oprah's going to let you know, oh, wait a minute. He looks like a dude I used to date back in college. See, when I saw Botham Jean's family and whatnot, and you see Amber Geiger, blonde-headed, blue-eyed, and you got to start asking yourself, you know what? Man, she looks like a chick you used to lay up with, nigga. You trying to get her a life sentence, and she looks like a broad you used to lay up with. No wonder you talking about forgive, forgive. You looking at me like I'm crazy. I ain't never laid up with no chick look like Amber Geiger. So it ain't no psychological hurdle I got to get over. You can give the wench the chair. She don't look like nobody I used to lay on top of. So she can go. But these integrated niggas, they're going to stop you quick. Wait, wait, wait now. One of them cops looks like Roger Ebert. You know, I used to date him. People make mistakes. Forgive, forgive. We all a little racist. No, people, just understand. If you fall for this, and there have been some people who have, most haven't because of the new black media, but if you're one of the dumb niggas trying to fall for that because you used to folks in your family abusing you and messing you over and lying to you, and you're a gutless liar too, so you have no problem with liars because you have no problem with Oprah Winfrey lying to you because you lying to all of us. There have been some folks who have fallen for that, but the majority are not going to fall for that because it's a new day and they got us to speak for it. But I want you to be clear that the methods of the street level revolutionaries have resonated with the people. And a bunch of well-heeled, well-financed individuals are trying to convince you that they got this. But that's not going to work. The celebrities are not going to be able to play Pied Piper anymore. That day is over. Oh, they're going to keep trying. It's the only tool they got in their toolbox. But they're finding it ain't working like it used to. But don't expect them to abandon it. Don't expect them to abandon it. If you are new here to the Black Channel, welcome to the Haven of Intelligent Black Thought. Over 100,000 subscribers and rising. Listen, we are not a little thing. If you haven't clicked that red subscribe button, go ahead and do that and then click that yellow notification bell so you can keep up with us. Yes, YouTube has us under a shadow ban, but you want to make sure you add to that number so that people can see it. The fact that so many of you clicked that red subscribe button, we were able to put together the numbers that could not be denied. YouTube kept unsubscribing people, and we kept making sure they stayed with us so that they could see this thing is real. The likes that we get are real. The subscribers are real. Our engagement is real. Roland Martin with 300,000 subscribers, a nigga stopped watching 3 years ago with 300,000 subscribers, but only 2,000 views when he posts a video. The streets ain't fooling with him. The streets rock with us. Click that red subscribe button and click that yellow notification bell. And someone was asking about this in the chat room earlier. If you've not been to our website, blackchannelfilms.com, that is blackchannelfilms.com, you want to go there and check out our groundbreaking, award-winning, Amazon best-selling documentary work, 7 a.m., Gentrified, Ethnic Cleansing American Style, our newest documentary, Race War. You want to go check those out. They're available right now so you can get up to date. blackchannelfilms.com. That is blackchannelfilms.com. And this concludes tonight's broadcast of the Black Channel. I am your host, your brother, your humble servant, the Black Authority. And until next time, my brothers and my sisters from around the world, remember, black is the future, and the future is uncompromising.